want to hire full-time staff in Hong Kong or looking into the process, then episode 75, Global from Asia, is perfect for you.
Welcome to the Global from Asia podcast, where the daunting process of running an international business from Hong Kong is broken down into straight-up, actionable advice. And now, your host, Michael Michelini.
Hope everybody's having an amazing Tuesday morning if you're on the Hong Kong side of the world, and happy Monday evening if you're over on the other side in America. And those in Europe, when this goes online, it'll probably be sleeping as it's going to be 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. So depending on where you are, I hope you're having a great day. This is episode number 75. That means we're 75% of the way to hitting 100 episodes. And man, I can't believe how quickly this has gone. It's been a fun ride, and you know, every so often I do check the download stats, and we have about 2,000 regular listeners, and sometimes depending on the show topic, we hit 6,000 downloads when they're released. I think maybe just some of the topics are more interesting than others, but you know, thanks for being one of them. And you know, I'm not trying to call you a stat here, but I have got a lot to know a lot of you face-to-face and on email, and it's been a lot of fun, and to get to learn new things and meet new people, just like today's episode. I've never had the chance to hire anybody full-time in Hong Kong, legally, that is, but today we're going to learn how. With Fionn Sen, she's back on the show. As you might have heard, she's been on a few of our shows here, and today she's going to be giving us some insights on hiring full-time staff in Hong Kong, dealing with payroll and the HMPF and other details. So it's going to be some stuff I'm learning myself. And as many of you probably know, I am an official affiliate of Bridges Executive Center, which means that if you do use their services and you mention GFA, which stands for Global from Asia, then I'll get a commission. So we don't have any fancy tracking codes like other podcasts and high-tech stuff. So it's kind of just got to verbally or tell them an email. And I know many of you actually have emailed me to make sure that I get the commission, which means a lot to me. I do appreciate that. And the prices are the same, whether you say you're using my affiliate program or not. And also there's $1,000 Hong Kong dollar discount when you're opening a new company, either Hong Kong Limited or offshore BVI or Seashell company, if you do decide to go with them. And it's at globalfromasia.com/bridges or bridges.hk. Okay, and now let's get Fionn on the show. She's going to be talking again about the payrolls and taxes. And after the interview, I'm going to be talking about some fun facts and some reasons maybe you might need to hire full-time staff in Hong Kong, even though you might not think so. So stay tuned after the interview. Okay, thank you everybody for tuning in to another Global from Asia podcast. We have Fionn here from Bridges Executive Center, and we're in their beautiful office here in central Hong Kong. Thank you for being here, Fionn.
Hi, everybody. This is Fionn from Bridges Executive Center. We are the Hong Kong company helping the people to set up their business. And also, we have been helping a lot of people from foreign country come to work in Hong Kong. We have experience to directly deal with the immigrations for more than 10 years already.
Yeah, so this is always a popular topic is, you know, a lot of foreigners, Westerners, or people from all around the world want to live and work in Hong Kong. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about some different ways that these non-local Hong Kong people can get jobs and opportunities here in Hong Kong. So what's the general process for an employer hiring a non-local Hong Kong person?
So I find there's a lot of entrepreneurs, they may consider whether they themselves come to work in Hong Kong, or maybe they employ some foreigner come to work in Hong Kong, which will be belongs to two types of working visa. If the owner of the business, they want to come here, they need to get the investment work visa because they are the investor of the company. Or if they want to employ some professional people to join them, they need to approach the immigrations to apply for the employment work visa. But no matter which type of visa, the basic requirement is immigrations is looking for someone who are professional. Professional means that it's much better they are university graduate with extensive years of relevant industry working experience, which means that it's much better that that person has at least 3 to 5 years experience in that industry and much better in management role as well.
And also, I mean, I think, and I don't want to, of course, we're always talking about Hong Kong and the show a lot. Every government wants the local people to get the jobs first, right? So is there some policy where they should try to hold Hong Kong local first before they hire a foreigner or?
Yeah, that's true. One of the basic requirements is immigrations prefer you have been take care of the local Hong Kong people first. So what you need to do, first of all, for this open vacancy, they want to saw that you already try hard to look for the local people, just like maybe you have been through some recruitment website to look for the, you have post your job advertisements there, or maybe you've through some recruitment agency to look for the people. So you need to keep all those proof supplied to the immigration to show that you have been trying your best. But please remember that you need to reserve the reasonable time, just like at least 1 month time to look for the suitable person. And then you need to show the statistic how you can find a suitable person. And then finally, maybe you need to go outside to some other country to look for the expatriate to join you. But remember that the salary that you pay to your expatriate must be in reasonable salary range as well. This will be one of the very important requirements.
Yeah. So, yeah, you can't just get a hire for half price of a local Hong Kong range salary. So on previous show with you, we were talking about all here. So, yeah, you got to be in market rate.
Correct. Yeah. Because I find that a lot of clients come to us will say that why I want to get that person to come to me because he's very professional and he got this kind of experience. But I said that why the salary is quite low, because he said that actually is already higher than what they earn from, for example, from Thailand, okay? Because the living standard is different. But immigration do not prefer to do so because they are afraid that because you get that person to come in and affect the Hong Kong people do not have the job. So how you set the salary range must be something same as Hong Kong people's salary range. Or we should say even higher because you can't hire from Hong Kong. So you need to pay a little bit more to get that person to travel abroad to Hong Kong. On top of that, you need to provide the housing allowance to them as well. Which means that actually you need to spend more to get the expatriate to join you rather than to recruit the local Hong Kong people.
Got it. And then, so, you know, I know this is anywhere and dealing with this is a process, any country. So are they quote unquote safe after they get approved and get the employment visa, or is there regular upkeep? Is it monthly, yearly, or?
Okay, so for the first time when the employee to join you, normally immigrations will grant for 1 year, because after 1 year they want to assess for the case whether the employee is suitable to keep on staying in Hong Kong or not. So if the company is good and the employee is good, they will have chance that renew for 2 years. So first time is 1 year, the second time maybe 1 year or maybe 2 years. So every year or every 2 years you need to renew the visa for your staff.
Okay. And we were kind of joking about this next question before we started the interview, but you know, the employers go through a lot of trouble and pays money to and time to get the foreigner a job here and be in Hong Kong. What if they quit, or you know, what if something happens? How does the visa work?
Actually, we're talking about the professional working visa, because there is many different kind of visa. If for the professional working visa, once granted to the employee, even though the employee quit the job, they can still keep on staying in Hong Kong until the visa is expired. They do not need to leave Hong Kong immediately. So they can keep on staying here, but if they planning to work for another company, they need to get the immigration approved so they can keep on staying here to look for the job. But however, from the employer point of view, I also come across quite a lot of clients having this kind of headache. So I think maybe you need to predefine some of the costs with your employee in the employment contract to say that in case they quit the job, what kind of things that, mutual agree on how to handle that.
Got it. Yeah, that's a good point for sure, because I know it's a lot of trouble to do this, and you know, you want to make sure that the team member stays for the long term. I mean, it's hard to make this a very long show, but because there's so many different parts. But we're focusing more on employment visa today. Mm-hmm. But maybe we can quickly also compare it to an investment visa as a difference.
I think there is a lot of difference, but yeah, simply speaking, investment visa is applied to those who are the owner of the business. You are the investor. Supposing in the company registry record, you are the shareholder of the company. And the main difference is immigrations will look at your own asset, we need to look at your latest 3 to 6 month bank statement to see whether you have enough money to run your business. But for the employment visa, because they are your staff, they are the employee, so we will not look at their own asset. This is the main difference. So make sure that you have enough cash flow in your bank account.
That's good. That's a very direct answer. So that's great. Also, so foreigners or non-local Hong Kong people can be a dependent visa, maybe with a local Hong Kong person. So they're married to a husband or a wife. How does the dependent visa work?
I think the dependent visa is something very good, because we just talked about for the employment visa, if the person quit the job, they can't work for another company immediately until the immigration is approved. However, for the dependent visa, they are very flexible. Within the granted visa period, they are allowed to work for any company. Yeah, they can change the job anytime. And also we can say some of the people, they want to have the part-time job. They want to work for two companies at the same time. You are allowed to do so as well for the dependent visa. But for the employment visa, you can only work for your sponsor company only. You are not allowed to take up any part-time job or volunteer job like that.
That's clear. So maybe some people here should consider getting married and come to Hong Kong.
Also, I think the good thing is if you come with your whole family, come here. So I think, for example, if your wife come with you and your wife is the dependent visa, then your wife have the flexibility to work for any company as well.
So a dependent visa, if I had an employment visa and then my wife had a dependent visa, that's good to know. And so is the process for all non-local people? I think it's more difficult from my experience, like for mainland Chinese, because it's so close and there's so many mainland Chinese that want to come to Hong Kong. I'm sure it depends on the country of origin of the person or passport. Or
we would say no matter what kind of passport that you are holding, actually it's the same. Yeah, the assessment criteria is the same. Make sure that you have the good education and the professional background as well. However, why there's a lot of people say that mainland Chinese is much more difficult is because sometimes my experience is their document is not very well organized. Yeah, they may not be easy to get the job reference letter or even for the educational proof. You know, from China, when we got the university graduation proof, we are not just get the degree certificate. They have separate into two. One is called the school graduation certificate. Another one is called the degree qualification certificate. Even though some of the people, they graduate from the university, it doesn't mean that they have the degree qualification. So there is a bit more documents we need to get. And sometimes we need to verifications on their qualification, whether it's the recognized one or not. So this part of things, we need to do a bit more things compared to other country. And also for the job reference letter, sometimes my experience is in the CV, they will say that they work for ABC company, but finally the job reference letter is from DEF company. Sometimes something is like that. It's a bit more not very well organized, but this is the things that we are happy to help the client as well. We help them to make sure that all the information is synchronized, is in line, is in the true information supplied to the Hong Kong government. And also another thing is people say the mainland Chinese is difficult is because basically speaking, immigrations look for people from China having the university graduate qualifications, or we call it degree qualification. If the people do not have this kind of educational background, it will be difficult to get the working permit. This is quite the entry level. But sometimes when we work with some European country people, so if they are very experienced, they have 20 years working experience, but do not have the degree qualification, we still recognize their good professional working experience. But for China, we may not do so. Yeah, because we are difficult to verify their working experience background.
So it's not on my notes here, but I think there's another visa, student visa. So I've met some local or mainland Chinese students that are here on internships. Mm-hmm. So not just for mainland Chinese, but I think others can also, if they're younger, can consider a student visa for like MBA. Mm-hmm. There's a great MBA programs here. So that's another maybe possibility.
Yeah, it's very good that Hong Kong government support those non-local graduate. So if they graduate from Hong Kong University, no matter from China or from any other country, if they graduate from Hong Kong, they will automatically grant the visa for them to work in Hong Kong. And that kind of visa, the advantages is they are allowed to work for any company as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, this is a very good support to those non-local graduate. Yeah, so that's why I think for the foreigner, if they want to employ some non-local people, they can first consider this kind of non-local graduate, because I think it's much more easy to help them to get the visa to work for you.
So for business owners, which I think most listeners here are business owners, what are some tips, you know, we're kind of wrapping up the show here, tips for them to hire overseas talent in Hong Kong to get started?
I think for this part, how to think of getting the local people is not just only look at the person, whether it's qualified or not. So in the show, we keep on talking about whether the applicant is a qualified person to join your firm. But I think getting the working visa now in this field year, very important is the sponsor company background. Mm. So the sponsor company background, the basic requirement is no matter it's investment visa and permanent visa, very important is the company is strong enough to sponsor the expatriate. What means strong enough is you have the business activities in Hong Kong. If your whole business activities is not involved in Hong Kong, you are not able to get a working visa, which means that I want to see some of your business contract with the Hong Kong client or supplier or the invoice with the client. So which means that your activity will be in here. So you need somebody to work for you in here. And then beside the contract, you are required to have the physical office, because when you employ somebody to work for you, immigrations prefer them to have a good secure office for them to work there rather than work in the home office. And then the third thing is they prefer you take care of the local people first, which means that they want to show that your company is already employing some local people, maybe in the administrative level, but now you employ the professional person, the senior level, and then with the local administration person to support them. So this is the basic requirement. So a summary, you need to have the business transaction in Hong Kong, you need to have the physical office, you need to have the local staff, you need to have enough cash flow. This is the update requirement from the Hong Kong immigrations.
Great. Wow. It's really, really amazing to share. And then normally would it be the employee or probably the employer, the company should be the one to start the visa process?
Yes. Yeah. Supposing it's the employer responsibility to do all these kind of things. Yeah.
Great. And do you mind sharing some... How much should they budget time and money for doing this?
For the time, normally for the working visa, you need to well prepare 1 to 2 months before, because for the immigrations, they need to take around 4 to 6 weeks time to do the assessment. And then for the budget, the market rates for this kind of working visa is around, I think, around 20,000, around 15 to 20,000 for one case. Okay. Yeah.
And that's the... The fee to
fees for the first time application, for the consultations fees. But if you want to upkeep the maintenance of the visa renewal, normally the market rates I think is around $3,000 to $7,000.
Hong Kong dollars. Yeah, we're talking Hong Kong dollars. All right, and then of course for those you can help them with this service of getting the employment visa or any visa, how can they reach out to you?
Yep. For us, we help people to do this kind of visa for more than 10 years, including what we talk about, investment visa, employment visa, or even for the travel visa, we also help the people to do. So if you have any question, feel free to in touch with me. I'm Fionn. You can visit our website, www.bridges.hk. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Fionn. And that's a wrap. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Fionn, for coming on again. And yeah, also, don't forget everybody to consider their services for anything in Hong Kong, whether it be opening companies or maintaining or hiring and other services. Let them know. And also, don't forget that I am an affiliate. So thank you for considering them and remembering me. Okay. And now I did say I would talk some tips. So maybe hiring local staff, you might be maybe hiring everybody freelancers or in other countries, you know, and maybe not really sure why you would need to do full-time staff in Hong Kong. Previous shows, we talked about investment visas in Hong Kong and getting approved. So a lot of times any government would like it if you hire their local people. That means you're, you know, improving the economy, getting local jobs for people there. So by hiring full-time Hong Kong staff, or at least having it in your business plan when you're applying for an investment visa and trying to stay long-term in Hong Kong, it's definitely a perk to have that. They'll definitely be interested and favor your application. So definitely keep that in mind. And also, I'm just overall ecstatic that people are reaching out to me with different solutions and suggestions from different episodes, and people coming to me with news and about Hong Kong and China business minutes and hours after it breaks online. I'm getting highlights and I'm putting it all together and I'm giving these people shout outs in the weekly newsletter. So you can check that out and get on it at globalfromasia.com/subscribe. Also, I'm about 95% done with the video training course for the Hong Kong Supercharged program. It's got its own domain and in beta, kind of like alpha right now, kind of just getting some minor adjustments with a small select group of people. And then we're going to go into the email announcement about it with a special lifetime offer that will probably be active for less than a week after the email is sent out. So if you want to keep up to date with these offers, it's only going to be to the newsletter subscribers, so make sure you subscribe there. And now for some five-star review we have from Michael Eagleton at FABAPC, which is his venture he's been really working hard on. And then actually, I'm in a WeChat group with him, and he's been getting people excited about it. So before I talk about that, he's also based in Shenzhen. And there was an article just sent to me from the South China Morning Post about Shenzhen being named a top five startup hub and that Hong Kong wasn't anywhere on the list. So it is true. I mean, a lot of people, even I, you know, I don't really even say I'm in Shenzhen. A lot of times people know me or think of me in Hong Kong. But, you know, Shenzhen is getting more and more influential at being a hardware center of the world. And I think more and more people will get to know this city. And it's, you know, people like Michael Eagleton and I and others are here too. So, you know, keep that on your radar. So let's read it. It's a long review. So I'm really amazed at his support. He also supported the book and other things. So thanks, Michael, for being so great and supporting. So 5-star review, subject, simply the best resource and insights for entrepreneurs starting out in Asia. And he says, for over a year now, I've been listening to the podcast and it's simply the best for insights on how to start up and run your business from Asia. Michael's guests are all experts and hands-on experienced entrepreneurs who share their experiences and advice. This has been an invaluable treasure trove of what to do and what not to do when starting up business in Asia. For me, as I went about starting my own business in China, I've been able to save time, money, and follow the lead from so many successful people that have done it all before. I highly recommend this podcast if you are about to start up in Asia or like me, always wanted to start up but were afraid to. Even after being in China for almost 18 years, I've learned and benefit so much from Michael's ability to share advice and bring together such a broad range of experts for so many different fields. Keep up the good work, Michael, and thank you. Oh, thanks, Michael. And that's FABAPC. And I really support your venture, and I'm glad that this podcast had helped you get this going. So definitely just keep going. That's just like this show. I mean, I was really afraid to put my voice online and to put stuff out there. And, you know, it's been a lot of fun. So thanks for being part of it. And thank you, everybody, for having me here with you and your earbuds. And I was wondering, last week I mentioned my bike accident. I got some people reaching out to me nervous. It was not that big a deal, but I'm still biking regularly and not letting that get me down. You know, just like anything in life, you know, we fall down sometimes, but we just got to get back up. Just like my kid, Miles, he's starting to walk now, just past 9 months. And it's pretty amazing to watch him fall and get back up. And he's got a helmet too. So I have a helmet for my bike riding, and I'll throw a picture up at the bottom of the show notes with my yellow bright helmet and globalfromasia.com/episode75. Okay, enough of this blah, blah, blah. I'm out of here. I'm going to go for a bike ride, all right? Peace.
To get more info about running an international business via Hong Kong, please visit our website at www.globalfromasia.com. That's www.globalfromasia.com. Also, be sure to subscribe to our iTunes feed. Thanks for tuning in.